Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place. The point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 48. Jack Kazakowski is a leading expert in social selling and sales innovation. He is a global sales speaker and CEO with the U.S. Division of Creation Agency, a global sales training and marketing agency. Jack consults, trains, implements, and executes with some of the top B2B sales teams globally on how to integrate social media into the traditional sales process. Jack says his goal each and every day is to add value to someone else's day. Sales has allowed me to do amazing things with my career, and social selling has allowed me to turn my passion into a career. Jack's dream is to teach everyone how to sell using social to create more opportunities personally or professionally. Jack Kazakowski, what a pleasure to have you. Hi.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk through some of the questions that you have aligned. I know that they're going to be really, really good, and hopefully people will get some satisfaction out of this.
I'm sure they would. It's really so great. And I just shared with our listeners what you have done until now. And I would like to ask you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm actually a salesperson that has converted into a marketing salesperson. So you've done sales my whole life, but now, about a little over 2 years ago, I went into business partnership with a guy out of the UK named Jason Sibley, and I am running the US division of a global agency, kind of building it from the ground up in the US. And we're 2 years in, we've got about 17 clients. We mainly work with SaaS startup companies, mid-market, that are looking to grow awareness and grow revenue through, turning digital into dollars.
Wow. And when you say salesperson, do you mean selling all kind of channels, or do you talk mainly about online?
So I've been in sales, I've sold all kinds of things. So I started off, as the operations guy at a front desk, and then I moved into selling pay-per-click before anybody knew where it was. Then I sold manufacturing warehouse equipment to laggard buyers. Now, my last company was Acton Software, where I got my feet wet in the SaaS industry. And now, we sell services, digital marketing services, and, we're in full-scale digital agency. And really what we focus on is, how do we take companies' marketing and use the different social channels and email, all the digital channels, to drive actual engagement? But essentially the main thing is, how do we drive revenue from all these different digital channels, new ways that buyers are buying? How do we communicate with them? And then that kind of bridges the gap into what I'm really passionate about, and that's social selling. So how do we use, social media as salespeople and as marketers, anybody in the company, to drive sales conversations from online to offline?
That's interesting. Do you mean mostly through LinkedIn or specific social media, or all of them are good for that?
It depends what industry you're in, right? I mean, depending on what industry you're in and where your buyers live and where they communicate, where do they, want you to communicate back with them, that kind of determines. There's really, in my opinion, obviously for B2B, LinkedIn is a great channel right now, but I think, if you want to have real success in sales today, you've got to be multi-channel. You've got to be everywhere adding value all the time. And, the more value you're adding, the more visibility you have on the different channels, the more opportunity you're going to create, from the conversations on those channels if you do things correctly.
I love that, because it's the first time I hear this expression of social selling, although people are looking for leads through social media, but social selling is something new. It sounds very, very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily new. I think it's just kind of it's kind of got some terminology attached to it now, but you know, the phone and email, you know, even going back to the telegram, right? Knocking on doors and every you know, communication has scaled. It's evolved. And it's only going to evolve even more with the different social channels. And you've got to figure out how do you have a conversation with your sale, with your buyers online, give them an experience, you know, over time that's going to want to have them, you know, go offline and have a sales conversation. So I think there's an art to it. A lot of people don't understand it, but salespeople need to start understanding it because that's the experience that buyers are starting to, you know, ask for.
It's very interesting because you've talked about startups. Who are your customers today?
So some of my customers would be SalesHacker, Gong.io, Exvoyant. We have a wide array of customers. In the US, we mainly work with SaaS startup companies and mid-market companies kind of in the early stages. And in the UK, where our other offices, we work mainly with enterprise clients. So we kind of have clients of all different sizes, but in a way, the US and the UK are siloed because we do work with two different types of customers. And you know, I'm essentially building the US as a startup. So over the past 2 years, we went from zero clients to 17 now. And, you know, it just keeps growing month after month, year over year.
It sounds great because I've been working with startups for the last 10 years, mainly on strategy and marketing. And it always includes sales in it because, you know, marketing is marketing just in order to make the business work. And I think that not enough people are talking with startups about selling, really selling. The other thing that I thought about that you talked about, that you want the salesperson to understand that. And most startups won't talk about themselves as salespeople, isn't it?
You know, salespeople are marketers. Marketers are salespeople in the digital age, whether you want to admit it or not. I mean, there's marketing activities that salespeople have to achieve to, you know, scale enough conversations in order to hit, you know, the most opportunity. Now, you know, if you look at the startup world and you look at the best companies, you know, you look at Slack, you look at some of these Slack, Trello, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, they don't have, you know, quote unquote sales reps that are, you know, cold calling in most cases. They're leveraging marketing as their tool to do the sales. Now, they do have people that, you know, once they kind of get you signed up or they get you in the process, they get in a conversation with you, then they'll kind of move it offline and try to do kind of the upsell. But you're seeing a lot of this in the SaaS startup world is that marketing is the tool to get the sales conversations. It's not the other way around.
Sure.
Because people have so much information at their fingertips now that they want to decide when they have a sales conversation. They're not letting the salesperson decide that like they used to.
Hmm. Do you have any concept or beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customers? And I would like you to give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus.
You know, it kind of depends on what industry you're on, obviously, would be the advice. You know, if I was talking to, you know, young tech startups, I think it's really important that, you know, the co-founders or whoever's built that company, they have to start getting involved in, you know, going to conferences where their potential buyers are. They have to really start, you know, getting themselves kind of known and starting to build actual relationships with beta customers, people that they can get in and start to, you know, try their product. I think that, you know, a lot of the founders in most startup companies, they've never worked on their sales skills. And some of them just don't have sales skills and they don't have the budget to actually go out and hire salespeople. So that's why I think it's important that they get out from, you know, behind the computer and they get out and start meeting people and start letting people test their product, start building the relationship with people, give them, you know, enough value in the simple fact that you let them try your product for free for 3 months or at a really low cost, let them get into a beta program that, you know, is long-term that would lock in a price. But you got to start building the relationships with the target accounts that you're looking to go after. And a lot of times that means you have to, you know, it can't just be the phone. It can't just be social, but you've got to actually get out and meet people to start that process.
Yeah. I love that answer. And I would like to ask you, what is your biggest, I know you've got a lot of successes and so many people are following you and a lot of successes with the new agency, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial or your business journey the most?
So I'm not too sure if it would relate to a customer, but, you know, at the last company I was at, I started to really leveraged the power of content and a social media network. And I grew a pretty big audience. And what happened was it started to kind of divide me from the company because they weren't a huge fan of all of the engagement visibility I was getting. It was kind of, I don't know if it was threatening or, I don't know. I don't want to assume what it was. But what it really did was it made my life hell for a little while, but it really forced me to go out and to do my own thing. So having the conflict of building a personal brand and having it push me away from, the corporate life or the working for companies, it actually was a great competitive advantage because it forced me to go into entrepreneurship.
What do you mean? I understand how building your own personal brand can take so much time that it's difficult to go out there. But what do you mean it really made you make your own entrepreneurship?
Well, what it did was it forced me to understand that I could be an entrepreneur. I understood that I could go out and build connections with other CEOs. I could build a network of people that wanted my services so that I actually had buyers before I even went into entrepreneurship. I think a lot of people, they build a product, but they have no network of buyers to sell it to. So I actually worked backwards. I built an audience of all the right people. I built a trade. I built a service, which is my product. And I already had people to sell that to become an entrepreneur. Now, if I didn't have the network, a lot of people didn't know what my skills were. I didn't have people talking about me. It would have really been hard for me to go and ever be motivated enough or have the confidence enough to become an entrepreneur. So, if you're a young entrepreneur out there or you aspire to be, start building your network now because that will make it so much easier for you to make the decision to actually become an entrepreneur.
And where do you see the failure? I can understand what you gained out of that, but where's the failure?
Well, the failure was I worked for a company that I really enjoyed working for. And, I feel like at the time I didn't want to be an entrepreneur, but the failure was that I couldn't, I don't know, if I guess maybe it's not a failure, but.
Yeah, but any failure at the end became a success. But what was the point of feeling the failure?
I think I felt like a failure because, I left on good terms, but I really wanted to, move up in that company, right? I'd worked hard and I really wanted to get to the next level inside that company. And I felt like a failure at times because I was going through some conflict for my personal brand and, which was dividing us. But, in the long term, that failure that I felt for a really long time, not being able to move up, not being able to make the people happy that, I thought should have been happy, it ended up actually being a success in the end. But, at the time, it felt like it was a huge failure.
Yeah, it's great to hear it that way. And I would like to ask you now about your biggest success. What is the greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer's focus or something you did right about approaching your customers?
I think the tough thing about working with startups and is that I don't necessarily know if you ever feel like you're successful because, you get somebody working with customers that want new clients, you get them a certain amount of leads, they close a certain amount of business, and then they expect more. So I think, for me, I don't ever want to feel like, I've achieved a real goal with a customer. I always want it to be, hey, we hit a milestone, but now let's move on to the next milestone. Because I think, a lot of agencies or a lot of startups die because, they have this goal, they hit that goal, and then they slow down. They lose that momentum because that's where their mindset is. Oh, we hit this. I don't ever want to think like that. I like to think about things in milestones and then move forward. But I think, hitting 10 customers was a big milestone, starting at zero to see, I remember sitting at my desk going, okay, where am I going to get my first customer? And then when I saw, us hit 10 customers, now we're at 15. I think every time you see, the roster of how many logos you have or how many companies you're working for, that's really eye-opening to me because it shows the momentum. And if you think back to where you were that first day when you started, it's really, really eye-opening.
I do agree. It's definitely a success, a huge one, I believe. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer focus, marketing, or sales? I would like to explain because there are so many tools out there. Like any half an hour, there is a new tool in the market. But what I'm looking for is not another tool to add to the list, but those tools that really work for the successful entrepreneurs, the successful people?
I think LinkedIn Sales Navigator, I think if you're a startup or an entrepreneur, you know, you need to identify who are the people you're going to build the relationships with? Who are you the people that you're trying to get into sales conversations with? And you need to really build that kind of targeted list. So, you know, a tool like Sales Navigator and LeadIQ, those are the two tools I'll give you. They kind of work in tandem. You know, Sales Navigator lets you identify and find all the right target accounts with the people in there that you should be doing business with. And then you make that target list inside of a tool like LeadIQ, which gives you their email address, validates all that data, and then allows you to take that phone number, make a call, you know, find their LinkedIn. Those two tools in tandem, I think, is identifying who the people are you need to be speaking with, really focusing on those people, finding their data, and then putting a plan and a sales process together to actually get into that sales conversation with them. Those two tools are what I would suggest.
Wow, it sounds good. Is there any person, like a service provider, a mentor, consultant, advertiser, but it can also be a book, although a person is much cooler, that had a major impact on your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well?
Yeah, you know, personally, there's two people that have helped me a lot. If you follow Miles Austin, his website's fillthefunnel.com. He is an amazing person. He's been a great mentor for me on, you know, personal and professional level, but he's great with helping really small companies scale their marketing and, you know, using easy to use, really cheap tools that can help you kind of scale yourself from 1 to 5, 1 to 10, 1 to 20 employees. And then the other one is Jason Sibley, who's my business partner. And, you know, he's kind of mentored me through business and he's mentoring me through scale. He's mentoring me through a lot of things that, you know, would be very expensive to find out on your own.
Wow, it's so great. You see them like that. We will put the link to perhaps to both people in the show notes of this interview. Do you remember a point, it can be either on this company or before, that you stopped chasing customers and started to attract them?
Oh, yeah. This is where building a personal brand comes in. And, you know, the competitive advantage today is to become more visible, more valuable, and more connected than all of your competitors on social media. And that's one thing I've done is I've built a massive network of engaged people that follow me. They read my content. You know, quote unquote, some, you know, I hate saying this, but some of them look at me as the quote unquote expert in my field. And, you know, we don't do any outbound prospecting. All of our business is inbound because we would rather spend time to create content, to create videos, to curate good content, makes people better personally and professionally, put our time there instead of cold calling, because I'm more into the, you know, I don't want to beg for business anymore. I've always said that, you know, my career, I want people to want to have a sales conversation with me versus me having to force a sales conversation. Now it's a long-term goal. It's, you know, it takes a while. There's no quick fix, but you know, if you make the commitment now, imagine where you'll be in 5 years. If you've got a network of people that want to do business with you, that want to refer business to you, it'll make your life a whole lot easier. If you just invest this time on the front end, you'll get it back on the back end.
Wow. Just before my almost final question, I would like to ask you, you know, there are so many things that affect your success, yet usually there is one thing that affects most. And I would like to ask you, what is your one thing? What is your key success factor?
You know, to be fair, I think it's my faith. I think if you have a higher power that you understand, you know, and whatever faith that is, I don't want to, you know, I'm Christian, but, you know, whatever faith you have a higher power and something that you can look to have faith in that is bigger than you. Because when times are tough, you know, especially in the entrepreneur world, if you only have yourself to bail yourself out, you know, it's going to be a really tough uphill battle. So I think really understanding who's bigger than you and using that to your advantage will really play a big role. And it plays a big role in my life.
Wow. It's a beautiful answer. It's great to think about it that way. And just before we say goodbye, I would like to ask you, what is the best way to contact you and to be in touch with you?
So one of our websites that I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs will get a lot of value out of is called skillslab.io. I'll give you the link so people can visit there. But we talk about a lot of how-to actionable strategies. We have courses. We have, you know, blog posts about how to actually do some of the innovative things in sales and marketing that help you move the needle. So one of the things I'm obsessed with is not telling people what they should be doing, but showing people how they should be doing it. Because I think, you know, everybody on LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, everybody's an expert on why you should do something. But the ones who really know their stuff are the ones that will show you actually how to do it. And that's what we really focus on. So that's skillslab.io.
Thank you. Is this the best place to contact with you?
Oh, LinkedIn, Twitter. You know, I have my website, which is my name, jackkosakowski.com. You know, I'm active on pretty much every social channel. So just DM me if you have questions or you saw this and you want to, you know, ask a question. Any channel, I'm pretty much active on all of them.
And we will put them all in the show notes of this interview. Jack, I would like to thank you so much. I enjoyed this conversation. You know, I'm so many years in marketing and sales, and it's quite rare to find people that are coming from sales and are not and talking about sales per se.
Yeah.
So I really love that.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. This has been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jack Kozakowski is a leading expert in social selling and sales innovation. He is a global sales speaker and CEO with the U.S. division of Creation Agency, a global sales training and marketing agency. Jack consults, trains, implements, and executes with some of the top B2B sales teams globally on how to integrate social media into the traditional sales process. Jack says his goal each and every day is to add value to someone else's day. Sales has allowed me to do amazing things with my career. And social selling has allowed me to turn my passion into a career. Jack's dream is to teach everyone how to sell using social to create more opportunities personally or professionally. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.